first lesson this morning is found in Micah 7, verses 8 to 20. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion under us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I was preparing for this week's message, it occurred to me that the world was full of two kinds of people: those who have been hurt and those who are about to be hurt. I think life in a broken world guarantees that sooner or later, someone is going to disappoint you. Someone will betray your trust. Someone will probably say something that they shouldn't have said or fail to do something that they should have done. And I guess you don't have to be much of an observer of the human condition to to discover that our human relationships can often become messy. So the question for us isn't if we will be hurt. I think the question for us becomes, what will we do when we are? And so today we're continuing our journey of learning how to love others. And of course, this week it's all about forgiveness. And it turns out there are lots of great ways to express love for someone. You can tell them how you feel. You can offer a genuine compliment. You can even be of service to them. But right up there with the very best expressions of love are mercy and forgiveness. And I think as we go through life, we can't help but notice that mercy is often messy, and that forgiveness can be the first step in healing a broken relationship. Indeed, forgiveness is what love does when love has been wounded. In that first reading, the prophet Micah asks a remarkable question. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgiveness? And he goes on to say that you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. I just love that phrase, God delights to show mercy. This means that God doesn't forgive reluctantly. God's not up there in heaven with his arms folded saying, oh, I suppose I have to forgive him this time. God delights in offering mercy and forgiveness. And just think about that for just a moment. When you confessed your sins this morning, and when we confessed right here during this service, God wasn't irritated that we confess. He's delighted that we confessed our sins to him. And I think that's the very heart of the gospel. We need to remember, I think, that God's love always moves first. God always comes down. God always makes the first move. He initiates everything. Before we ever thought about loving him, God loved us. Before we ever thought about forgiving somebody else, God had already forgiven us. Everything we do as Christians begins with what God has already done for us. You know, for so many religions, it's about what you have to do to earn salvation. But for us Christians, our salvation is based on what Christ has already done for us, what he's already done for us on the cross. This is the difference between a religion that's based on do and a religion that's based on done. Christ has done everything needed for our salvation. Let's consider for a minute David's situation in Psalm 32. He's describing what happens when he carried around his hidden sin. It wasn't pretty. He says his bones wasted away, his strength dried up, guilt affected his body, his mind, and his spirit. And then there's a pivot point. Something changes. He confesses. And what did God do? David says God forgave immediately, completely, and freely. I wonder if you've noticed how often forgiven people become different people, especially after you've confessed your sin to God, and I would say even more especially once you confess that you've hurt someone else. It's almost as if a 2-ton weight has been lifted off your shoulders and your back. We're told to confess because confession is good for our soul. I think there is great truth to the idea that when you've experienced extraordinary grace, it's much harder then to withhold that grace from someone else. And this is exactly why Paul writes in Colossians, forgive as the Lord forgives you. You notice he doesn't say, forgive because people deserve it. Let's be honest. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes that apology never comes, but that doesn't mean we can't forgive. Sometimes the wound cuts deep, but that doesn't mean we can't forgive. Sometimes the relationship can never go back completely to the way it was before, but still, Paul encourages us to forgive as the Lord forgave you. In other words, just remember how God has treated you. Now, we ought to admit something, I think, here. Forgiveness sounds beautiful, right up until someone hurts you. It may be easy to applaud forgiveness Sunday morning at a church service, but I would tell you that it's much harder on Monday afternoon when someone has wounded your heart. And I think that's exactly why Jesus says something totally radical in Luke's gospel. He tells us to love our enemies and to be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And here again, notice that Jesus doesn't say be merciful because people deserve mercy. He says be merciful because your Father has been merciful to you. And so here the motivation isn't the worthiness of the other person. The motivation to forgive flows from the goodness of God. And I think this is kind of where some Christians become confused. Maybe you hear a sermon on forgiveness and you conclude that forgiving means, you know, pretending that nothing happened. It's not like that. Forgiveness, I think we need to remember that forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Forgiveness is a decision that one person can make with or without an apology. Forgiveness can be freely given. And I think at the very most basic level, what we mean when we say forgiveness is a pretty low bar. It just means you don't want to seek revenge. That's forgiveness. But reconciliation is different. Reconciliation is a process by which you start to rebuild a damaged relationship. And usually it takes time. Forgiveness only takes one willing heart. Reconciliation, on the other hand, requires two willing hearts. You can forgive someone who never apologizes, but you can't reconcile with someone who refuses to change. And I think Paul recognizes this when he writes about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Paul writes this, he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I hope you heard two separate phrases there. If it is possible, because maybe it isn't possible. And then, as far as it depends on you. And so sometimes it just turns out that reconciliation isn't possible. Not because you refuse to forgive, but mostly because you or the other person refuses to repent or change. And that relationship just can't be restored without two willing partners. And then there's this. I think we need to remember that being forgiving does not mean that all of a sudden you throw wisdom into the garbage bin. When we've been hurt by someone, we need to be smart and perhaps set some boundaries in order to remain safe. So forgiveness doesn't require for you to put yourself back into harm's way. If someone is being dangerous or abusive, forgiving them does not mean remaining in that dangerous or abusive situation. And so if someone puts you at risk by repeatedly, you know, betraying your trust, forgiving them doesn't mean you have to pretend that trust has been restored overnight. Trust can only be rebuilt through repentance, through honesty, through some kind of mutual accountability, and perhaps through time. And I would tell you that even Jesus understood healthy boundaries. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 24, we are told that Jesus would not entrust himself to certain people because he knew their heart. And so, of course, Jesus loves everyone, but he didn't trust everyone. Remember in that story when he goes to his hometown of Nazareth and he gives that sermon, the people of Nazareth wanted to throw him off a cliff. You notice Jesus doesn't stand there and say, well, I guess I have to stand here because I forgive you. No, the Bible tells us that he walked, he passed right through them. And then another time when his enemies were trying to arrest him before his appointed time, the Bible tells us how he just withdrew from them. And so Jesus never confuses mercy and forgiveness. He never confuses foolishness with mercy. And neither should we. Sometimes I think the most loving thing that we can say to someone that's hurt us is that I forgive you, I'm not going to seek revenge, but until something changes here, we need to set some healthy boundaries. And folks, I would tell you that that is not vengeance, that's simply wisdom. Then I think there's another misunderstanding that we should address. Again, about forgiveness. Some people hear Jesus say, as he does in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Now, sometimes people read that verse and they become terrified. And they have to wonder, does this mean that God's forgiveness depends on how perfectly I forgive? And we tell you the short answer to that is no, it doesn't. Because thank goodness, if that were true, then none of us would have any hope at all. Instead, what's going on here is what Jesus is using language that we could call Hebrew hyperbole. He's using very strong language to let us know how very important it is for us to be forgiving people as his followers. And so Jesus uses a statement like this to expose the human heart. You know, when you think about someone who says, I gladly receive God's mercy, but I absolutely refuse to show mercy to anyone else. You know, we have to think that, has that person hardened their heart to the point where they've failed to understand the very grace that they said that they were receiving from God? And so for us today, forgiveness doesn't earn God's love. Let's just be really clear about that. I think what forgiveness does is that it reveals that God's love is already at work, changing us from the inside out. And so you might think of it this way. An apple tree doesn't become an apple tree because it produces apples. An apple tree, it produces apples because it's already an apple tree. And it's the same way for us Christians. We don't forgive in order to earn God's forgiveness. We forgive because we've already been forgiven. I think our willingness to forgive is evidence that the Holy Spirit is already at work in our lives. And so, will we forgive perfectly? No. But nevertheless, Jesus still calls on us to be a forgiving people. But sometimes wounds are so deep that forgiveness doesn't come easily as a one-time decision. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes the best we can do is to honestly pray, Lord, I want to forgive, but I just don't know how to do that now. Or Lord, I want to forgive, but I don't right now. Please help me. I think those are the kind of prayers that God delights to hear and to answer. I think that because the Holy Spirit just specializes in softening hearts that have become hard through pain. So let me leave you with one final picture. One final picture of forgiveness. The cross. It's at the cross where justice and mercy meet. Is it the cross that God doesn't pretend that sin isn't serious? Jesus dies because sin is so serious. But God also refuses to have sin have the last word. At the cross, mercy has the last word. Forgiveness has the last word. The love that God has for all of us has the last word. When Jesus stretched out his arms and prayed, Father, forgive them, he wasn't simply giving us something to admire. He was giving us a way to live. Not because forgiveness is easy, because we know it isn't. Not because forgiveness somehow excuses evil, it doesn't. And not because forgiveness erases future consequences, because it doesn't do that either. But because forgiveness sets the prisoner free. And so very often, we discover that the prisoner that has been set free is ourself. So this week, I'm going to encourage you to ask yourself these questions. Who do I need to ask for forgiveness? And then maybe, who do I need to forgive? Even if I haven't been given an apology, and even if it only means me not wanting to take revenge on them. And maybe you should also ask, where could I safely set a little boundary to take one small step towards reconciling a broken relationship? In other words, am I in a relationship where I can establish a healthy, Christ-centered boundary while still not wanting to take revenge? I think when we answer those kinds of questions honestly, we begin to love others through forgiveness, just the same way Jesus was willing to enter into the mess of our lives and extend mercy to us. That we're able to forgive the way Jesus forgave. Not with some kind of sentimental love, not with naive love, but with courageous love. The kind of love that extends messy mercy. The kind of love that just forgives. Because that is exactly how God has already loved and forgiven us. Amen.